This message is presented to you by Green Cord Ministry. To learn more about Green Cord Ministry, go to www.greencord.co. Thank you, Dennis. I want to experience victory. How about you? And before I begin this last message of breaking free, I would like to say another word of prayer. Shall we bow our heads? Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the privilege that we have, Lord, to co-labor with you, the high calling that you have given us to minister to one another. Each of us, Lord, you have given us that calling. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you constantly work, constantly employ angels in our behalf for our salvation. At this time, Lord, as we hear the message, we ask that your Holy Spirit, your angels would be working in our lives in such a way, Lord, that changes would occur in our hearts, deep within our hearts, and that we would find satisfaction from you and only you. This is my prayer. Please help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Old Testament is a story of God's people worshiping idols, God disciplining them, and God calling them back to himself. And the same story continues for us today and until the end of time, until Jesus comes. We see in Revelation chapter 13 and 14, the central issue before Jesus comes will be worship. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who can fight against it?'" Continuing on in verse 8, it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So, all who worship the beast in the book of Revelation, all who accept the mark of the beast, will be those whose names are not written in the book of life. If we overcome our addictions, if we ask for forgiveness of our sins, if we receive the blood of Jesus to pardon us of our sins, will our names be written in the book of life? It will be. But if we choose to continue to hold on to our sins, and we just don't apply the blood of Jesus to cover our sins, we will end up worshiping the false system of worship and receive the mark of the beast. So the way we handle our addictions today will show how we will handle that great test in the last days that we're maybe soon to be facing. Our addictions, our idols that are deeply rooted within our hearts, our affections that are attached to the things of this world, they're now creating a gap between us and Jesus, preparing us to worship the beast and receive its mark. The false system of worship that will be set up before Jesus comes enables us to continue doing what we've been always doing, serving, worshiping, and loving the idols of our hearts. Let's see this more clearly in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. Would you open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13, verses 15 through 17? And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Verse 15. The Bible says, "He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one can buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." In Revelation chapter 13, verses 15 through 17, this system says that if you accept it, you can preserve your life. You will not suffer unnecessary hardships. In other words, self-preservation. You can continue a life of thinking and living for yourself. And this appeals to the idols of egotism. You can continue to buy and sell, continue making money, doing business, heaping up earthly treasures. You can keep your dream home. You can keep your property. You can have whatever else that you love. And this appeals to the idols of materialism. You can continue in spiritual sexual immorality, meaning you can have more than one God. You can have union with a false God by accepting the false system of worship instead of worshiping the true God. You can also live to please your five senses, your appetites, your desires. You can continue to live any way you want and be enslaved in any form of sin, and it will be okay, as long as you accept the false system of worship. That appeals to our idols of sensualism. And what does God say in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4? We are given the call to come out of her, my people. All addiction is sin, and all sin is addictive. All sin is idolatry. God wants his people to come out of her, meaning worshiping idols and sin. Overcoming the false system of worship, idolatry, addictive sin in our own hearts today will enable us to overcome the false system of worship that will be set up before Christ comes. And the solution for our addictions is the same solution for sin: applying the gospel. Let's take a look at Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6 and 7. We're going to take a look at some practical steps of how to break free from sin and addiction. "And then I saw another angel directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. And they said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the spring of waters.'" Notice, before this first angel shares his message of fearing God, what is preached to the world? The gospel, the everlasting gospel, the eternal gospel. And that is very important if we want to receive freedom and properly worship our Creator. We need to understand the everlasting gospel. We need to apply the gospel to our life. So let's take a look at the everlasting gospel. If you know the verse, John 3:16, you can repeat it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. God, who is holy, compassionate, and loving, he provided a solution for sin, sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die in our behalf. Because of this great and matchless love of Christ, God demonstrated in the life and death of his Son, we can experience forgiveness and repentance of sins. We can experience freedom from sin's bondage. We can experience strength and power to have a new life in Christ. We can begin the process of lasting change today. Recognize that Jesus does not save us to keep us in our sins, but to set us free from our sins. And He does this by bringing you into a close relationship with God. Only love for God can keep you from continuing in sin and give you the motivation to overcome. Some words from heaven given by Ellen White in the book Christ Object Lessons says, only the love for God alone can make and keep us steadfast. This alone can enable us to withstand trial and temptation. My friends, are we struggling with temptation? Only what? Love for God. This is words from heaven. This is the truth. My friends, we need to fall in love with God. How can we develop a love relationship with God? You must take practical steps towards change that will help you turn away from your idols and turn towards God. To help you fall out of love with your idol and in love with God, you must take the time to spend with God, with like any relationship. You can be together, you can live together, you can be married, but we just don't take that special time with each other. And the love can begin to slowly fade away, yeah? But if we make our relationship a priority, and we talk to each other, communicate, have that intimacy, that love will flourish. It's the same way with God. Think about God and His love. This is another thought from heaven, from the book Desire of Ages, page 661. Pride and self-worship. It cannot flourish in the soul that keeps fresh in memory the scenes of Calvary. Isn't Calvary the ultimate expression of God's love for us? If I forget all the love that my wife has for me, what's going to happen? I have to remember. I have to keep in mind. We have to remember the love of God. We have to think about Calvary. It's hard to grasp those scenes. But the Bible and the writings of Ellen White, it describes it in such a way that we can see and we can feel and experience God's love for us. Take the time to spend with God. And you know what? God shows us His love, and we continue to stab Him in the heart. God shows us His love, we continue to be unfaithful to Him. We cheat on other lovers, other gods with God. Have you ever loved someone who was unfaithful and cheated on you? You know the pain that God experiences. The book of Hosea gives us a glimpse of God's love for a people, you and me, who do not love Him in return, and the pain that God experiences. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 8, describing, and she, Israel, did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil, and who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. Verse 8 of chapter 14, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answered and looked after you. From me comes your fruit. You know, even after we pursue idols God continues to pursue and lavish us. He lavishes us with blessings, and we're blind to those blessings. We often don't appreciate those blessings, and we use those blessings for our own self-worship. Why? God loves you with an everlasting love, a love that is unquenchable, and He continues loving you even though you don't respond to Him in love. Even if you don't return to Him, even if you choose eternal separation from Him, He still loves you. Ezekiel 6:9 is a verse that shows the pain in God's heart. How I have been broken over their whoring heart that has departed from me, and over their eyes that go whoring after their idols. There is nothing you can do, my friends, that will make God love you anymore or any less than what He already loves you today. Can you grasp that? There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more or any less than what He loves you today. He is love, and you are His bride. God's love is revealed to you through Christ, John 17:26. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended," or He demonstrated, "His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and I." He died so you and I can be reconciled to Him, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. His death was the ultimate expression of unselfish love, 1 John 4:10. The Father gave up everything He loved that He might gain your love. Romans 8:31 to 32. Christ counted your life more dear than His own. The heart of Jesus says, "I would rather give up my life and cease to exist just to give you a second chance at eternal life, even if I will not be there with you eternally. You are both mine," He says, "by creation and redemption." My friends, look at Desire of Ages, page 57. The gift of Christ reveals the Father's heart. It testifies that the thoughts of God towards us are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Jeremiah 29:11. It declares that while God's hatred of sin is as strong as death, His love for the sinner is stronger than death. Having undertaken our redemption, He will spare nothing, however dear, which is necessary to the completion of His work. Did you grasp that? Nothing. He will spare nothing. No truth essential to our salvation is withheld. No miracle of mercy is neglected. No divine agency is left unemployed. Favor is heaped upon favor, gift upon gift. The whole treasury of heaven is open to those He seeks to save. Having collected the riches of the universe and laid open the resources of infinite power, He gives them all into the hand of Christ. And He says, "All these are for man. Use these gifts to convince him that there is no love greater than mine on earth or heaven. His greatest happiness will be found in loving me." Wow. What can God do to convince us more of His love? Desire of Ages, page 57. I can testify that this love has the power to set you free. That love for Him will lead you to renounce your objects of idolatry and pursue after God. I used to be a drug addict. Why? Because I wanted to escape the problems that I had in my mind and in my life. It was my refuge. Why? Because I wanted to satisfy the feelings of my heart and fit in with my friends. I used to be addicted to trash on the internet. But, however, I can say but and however because of the love of God. I found Jesus. Or you can say Jesus found me. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You know what that means? Jesus is seeking and searching for us with all his heart. Will we respond the same to him? One of the ways we love God well is to put effort into getting rid of our idols. To begin ridding your life of idols, you must, number one, face your behavior honestly. Face your behavior honestly. Accept full responsibility of your sins. Stop the blame game. Accept responsibility for the hurt and damage that you have caused to others and yourself. It's not the fault of others or the temptations around you. And until you do that, you will never be free. Do you desire to be truly and permanently set free? You must long to be free and decide to stop the addictive sins right now with God's help. The problem is most of us don't want to stop. We just want to do it a little bit less. A few years ago, we was renting a room and we had some neighbors who were fighting. The next day she came up to us and she apologized. She said, I know you guys are Christians. I'm sorry for you having to hear us fight and hearing us swear at each other. And she began to tell us that she was addicted to drugs. And she didn't even know what kind of drugs she was addicted to. It was just a combination of a certain thing that was put together that she would take. And we offered to help her. My wife offered to do some hydrotherapy treatments to detox the body, to pull those chemicals out of her body now. My wife offered to give her some raw juices, to give her nourishment, to fight the cravings that happen after you don't do the drug for a while. And she agreed. And this hydrotherapy is an all-night hydrotherapy, wrapping yourself with wet sheets and sweating out toxins where the toxins go onto the sheets and they become yellow and stink. It's a procedure. And she said, it takes too long. Maybe next time. You know, as we continue to see her in our life, the sores in her face begin to become more open. Her body covered in black and blue marks because of just the lifestyle that she was in. She tries to sell us computers, tries to sell us gadgets to get money to buy the drugs. My friends, sometimes we don't want help. We still want it. Help is offered. You know, there's many, many programs out there that accept your insurance, state-funded programs like BISAC, and many other programs that are very well-rounded and good to help individuals with substance abuse. You know, God can free people. God can free people. But there are certain things that we need to experience and do in our part. One of them is facing our behaviors and making the decision to choose not to do it. Do you really want to be free? Are you willing to take a battle? Are you willing to do all that it takes to be free, even if it's difficult? Yeah, it's going to be difficult. There's going to be a feeling that you want to go back to it. Even if you said, no, I'm not going to do it, but are you willing to fight that battle? If you're not, pray, Lord, help me to be willing. God will give you strength to fight the battles. Identify, number two, identify idols, roots of addictions. As we're learning, idols is the object of your affection. Roots are the hearts, the thoughts, the feelings, desires, and motives fueling the addictive behavior. In the battle against sin, most people confess the fruit sins or the outward symptoms of sin, which is the behavior. They make outward changes but never deal with the root. So that's why they continue to go back to their sins over and over again or develop other addictions. If you're unsure of what the root is of your addiction, use Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24 as your prayer. To search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. That word wicked, if you look it up in the original meaning, the definition is way of pain or idol. You can also contact us if you would like. Some questions to ask yourself. Why am I continually being drawn or attracted to this sin? Are you craving power, intimacy, escape, admiration? Do you have hidden anger, jealousy, pride? Are you carrying unhealed emotional pain and trauma, shame? Did someone sin against you? Review your childhood experiences, your relationships with your mother, your father, your siblings. Review current relationships. Are you battling with unbelief of God's character? Do you believe that He is not trustworthy? That He is not good? That He won't satisfy the desires of your heart? And what's hindering you from believing His word, believing who He says He is? You know, that is a very important point that my wife brought up in the last message. Our unbelief. We can have unbelief. You know that illustration that I gave? How I believed in the promise of God and I broke those chains free because God, I partook of His divine power. Broke those chains free. What's going to keep me from putting those chains back on? Trust in God and His promises. If I start to doubt in God's promises, those chains are going to go right back on my neck. And sometimes, there's pain in our hearts, maybe from experiences with our father. And because of those experiences, we view our Heavenly Father the same way. And we can't trust our earthly father, and I can't trust my Heavenly Father. Or my earthly father hurt me. I don't know if I can trust my Heavenly Father. My friends, pray to God with these issues in our hearts. Go to Him. He is our great physician. Are you battling distorted views of yourself, worthlessness, failure that I can never overcome, inflated views of yourself, pride? All sin grows from two roots, two main roots. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Jeremiah 2:13. Forsaking Him, the fountain of living waters, and replacing God with something or someone else. Go to the great physician. Just as we are. Go to God for healing. Filled with trauma, hate, addictions, all these things in our minds, go to Him. There is a balm in Gilead. There's a promise in the Word of God that He will heal the broken in heart and bind up their wounds. It is a promise that we can have faith in, that God is the one who can heal us. He can help us. He can free us from the things, the emotional pain, the hurt, the wounds that are in our hearts. God wants to restore us and heal us from the damaging effects of sin committed against us and the sins that we have committed. The word salvation means healing. It comes from the word salve. A salve is ointment that facilitates the healing of a wound. The other day, my wife, she got bit by a poisonous spider. And the poison I knew from this spider would create a deep hole in her leg and just eat it away. It was a brown recluse spider. But immediately I knew to put on a charcoal poultice. I made the poultice, put on the charcoal. I went in the yard and I put some plantain. It's this round leaf that grows like weeds. It sucks up poison, especially on the skin. Smashed it up, made a little salve, put it on her leg, and it began to work. It sucked all the poison out. It was burning and it was painful for an hour and a half, but there's no wound right now. My friends, God wants to put that salve on top of our hearts that are wounded and broken. And He wants to suck out those poisons. My friends, He wants to give us peace, sweet peace. And you know, it takes time for a wound to heal, but it will heal. He wants to apply salvation to your life, my friends. How will you respond to His appointment that He wants to make with you today? Talk to Him. Tell Him everything. Tell Him what hurts you. He will hear you. He will heal you. Read His promises. Pray. Answer. Read His promises. Pray to Him. He will answer you in time. Have patience. Trust in God. Let God place His nail-pierced hands upon those old rusty chains and help you to break free. My wife Desiree, she came to an emotional breaking point in her life where she finally dealt with past abuse and the effects that it had upon her as an adult. She dealt with the past and the present sins committed against her and went through the process of emotional healing from being abused. Her compulsive behaviors ceased without her even being aware of it. And God can help you too. Believe God's promises. Replace those lies with truth. God's word needs to go from the head to the heart. It needs to take deep root within our hearts to transform us at the heart level. Your thoughts, your imaginations, your motives and desires. Mental assent to the truth or intellectually knowing God's word is not enough to change us. We must possess knowledge. We may possess knowledge, but the tenor of our thoughts may not be changed. Christ Object Lessons, page 97. We have forgotten that it is not mere words that nourish the soul, but God Himself. The Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God. My friends, find promises that show you who God is and that He is all that your heart is craving for. God's promises will give you something better than your idol. He promises to give you the gift of Himself, God's strength. He's your strength. He's your protector. He's your provider. And He's better than your husband. My friend, we're the bride of Christ. He is our husband. Everything your heart is longing for. My friends, do you long for a mother? Do you long for a father? God says, though your father and mother have forsaken you, I will take you in. Do you desire to be loved, or you desire intimacy? God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. The experiences of love that we have on this earth, they're painful sometimes. They break, they fall apart, they don't last. God's love is everlasting. Wow. And this is the reason why before the first angel delivers his message, he gives the everlasting gospel. Because without loving God, there is no way that we're going to fear God. Teach me the way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. David prayed this prayer. What does it mean? For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, uprightly, and godly in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. The fear of God is the fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. God's grace, it teaches us how to say no to sin, how to have self-control and not pursue temptation. God gives us his grace as a powerful weapon in the war for our hearts. It enables us to turn from idolatry towards him. Because of the resources in Christ, you have his grace, you have the Holy Spirit that is in you, and when your desires are tempted, you have the power to say no and go in another direction in which your passions and desires of the flesh would lead you. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5:24. You no longer have to obey your old slave master and submit your body to its rule. When Christ arose, we can arise with a new life. When Christ died and resurrected, my friends, we can put to death self. And we can choose another path. Remember, all things was given to Christ so that we can have victory. And now, Israel, what does the Lord God require of you but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your hearts and with all your soul? Deuteronomy 10:12. That you may fear the Lord your God, that you and your sons' sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you, and all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Deuteronomy 6:2. Fearing God means following him in active obedience, to love and serve him. It's similar to awe, devotion, and worship. And knowing that we live in the all-penetrating gaze of God. When we have a healthy fear of the Lord, we will do what it takes to turn away from sin quickly. You know, when thoughts pop up in my mind, immediately I have to cast those thoughts down. Turn away from it, because I want Jesus. I don't want these things that the devil tries to give me. I don't want it. I'm starting to hate sin and selfishness. I've been praying for this experience, and God wants this for you too. The fear of the Lord is knowing that we live in the all-penetrating gaze of God. When we tolerate sin in our lives, it's because of our belief that we can keep some part of our life secret. Addiction begins because of this lie in our mind. When we fear the Lord, we will have a commitment to avoid temptation. And having a commitment means finding an accountability partner and genuine community. Choosing an accountability partner, choose an accountability partner that won't be afraid to hold you accountable for sin and will rightfully challenge you on what is important, holiness, who will confront your sin graciously and redemptively, who has spiritual stability and experience long-lasting victory. Bad accountability partners are those who are gossipers. If you're talking to somebody and that person is telling you stuff about another person, that's a good sign that that's not a good person to talk to and share personal information with. Don't choose accountability partners who are at the same level of maturity as you are, who are entangled in the same sins as yourself. Seek accountability from those who are in the same place as you are. May make you feel comfortable, but it's unlikely to lead you to actual change. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says that those caught in sin are to be restored by those who live by the Spirit. And our churches, we need to develop the culture of accountability, confrontation, and grace. The Bible says if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than the whole body thrown in hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. Matthew 5, 27 to 30. Jesus said that we must be radical to remove every stumbling block or cut off sin in these two areas. There's two areas, externally and internally. Externally deals with the outward temptation. Set up boundaries which are barriers between yourself and the idol of your affection. For example, if work is an idol, set up boundaries, set up times where you think about work and where you work. Don't go over those times. Give yourself no access to the object of your idolatry. Don't allow yourself to see it. This refers to the eye that Jesus talked about in Matthew 5. Don't allow yourself to get it. This refers to the hands. This means remove all the objects of your addiction. I appreciated the praise and testimony this morning. It was shared that go throughout your house and get rid of anything that is between you and God. Get rid of it. Whether it's DVDs, magazines, books, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a friendship that's a snare. Avoid places and situations that tempt you. Break that bong. Break that pipe. Throw out the ashtrays. Burn it, smash it, flush it on the toilet, whatever it is, put it on a rocket. Send it to outer space. You gotta be radical about this. Get rid of it. Why? You know what? When I was addicted to looking at trash on the internet, I was always tempted to put away in a secret file one thing that I didn't want to let go. There's always one thing. We try to hold on to it. We got to get rid of it. We need to make that decision today. If you're tempted, you know what tempts you. You know the situations that bring about those feelings and desires. Get rid of those things. Tear it off the wall. Take it off your phone. Whatever it is, destroy it. Choose to commit yourself to holiness in a way that you will be willing to do whatever it takes necessary to keep you from sin, even if it makes you seem weird. You know where you struggle, my friends. It internally deals with internal temptation. When the thought of evil is loved and cherished, however secretly, it shows that sin still reigns in the heart. The soul is still in the gale of bitterness and in bond of iniquity. He who finds pleasure in dwelling upon scenes of impurity, who indulges the evil thought, the lustful look, may behold in open sin, with its burden of shame and heartbreaking grief, the true nature of evil which he has hidden in the chambers of the soul. The season of temptation, under which it may be, one falls into grievous sin, does not create the evil that is revealed, but only develops or makes manifest that which was hidden and latent in the heart. Cutting off external things is great, but it will not solve the problem. Many times we cut out bad things and influences from our life, but we neglect to cut off the internal things that are deeply in the heart. We desire and we crave things that are not good for us because while we have discontinued the physical relationship with the idol, meaning you remove these idolatrous objects from your home, we may maintain an emotional relationship to it. We love the feelings they bring, the soothings of our emotions, the relaxation or the escape, and the emotional attachment may pull us back towards it. We are attracted to temptations outside of us because of sinful desires that we cherish within our hearts. John 3:19 says, men love darkness rather than light. And what does light represent? It represents God, Jesus, His Word. We must learn to hate sin, not just the shame it brings. You will never destroy an enemy in which you embrace. If you love sin, it will continue to spring up in your life. Turn away from sin internally by the process of confession and repentance of root sin, not just the fruit sin. Go to God to work authentic repentance. And authentic repentance is a two-step process. Sorrow for sin and turning away from it in the heart. The Bible speaks about two types of sorrows, worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. The Bible says, now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance, for you were made sorry in a godly manner. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So let's take a look at Esau's example. For one morsel of meat, for a momentary gratification of the appetite that had never been restrained, Esau sold his inheritance. But when he saw his folly, it was too late to recover the blessing. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Esau was not shut off from the privilege of seeking God's favor by repentance, but he could find no means of recovering the birthright. His grief did not spring from conviction of sin. He did not desire to be reconciled to God. He sorrowed because of the results of his sin, but not for the sin itself. You see that difference? No, we can have tears over our sorrow. We can have actual sadness and brokenness. But the issue is not whether the person is sad, is instead, what are they sad about? Our sorrow and our apologies can be completely selfish. Examples in worldly sorrow, all tears and all the pain are actually about the consequence of our sin. Self-disgust and losing the things that you desire to keep. You don't want to lose your reputation, So you feel shame and sorrow that other people know about your sin. You don't want to lose your ministry or your church position or your job or a relationship or lose something that you desire to keep. Worldly sorrow leaves and is quickly replaced by a renewed interest in sin. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. The heart of a true believer cannot live in a pattern of continual sin. If your tears and your sorrows do not move your heart from desiring the things of the world to desiring the things of God, if your heart and emotions are not inclined towards God, but still cherishing sin, then it's false conviction. Godly sorrow is gripped by our sinful separation from God and the desire to be restored to Him at any cost. Godly sorrow demonstrates itself by a deep longing and concern to restore the relationships that were broken and distant. And until sinning against God is what breaks your heart, you will never turn the corner. You need God's forgiving grace for having wrong responses to sin. You need His transforming grace to have a broken heart that honors the Lord. And these graces are yours simply by asking. You know, I've been praying. You know, I've been studying this material for months. I've seen this material. It's available to me for a year. And these things have been working on my heart. And I've been praying to God, Lord, give me hatred for sin. Give me sorrow for sin. I cannot change my heart. I cannot change my heart. Please, God. I remember one day my wife asked me, what's the matter? How come you're sad? I don't know. Nothing's wrong in my life. I don't know why I'm sad. And I begin to think about it. Why am I sad right now? I am sad. You know what happened? I got this big job. Oh, it was a nice job. Painting the inside of a house. I could work there for a month straight, $30 an hour. Oh, that is big money for me. I did not want to share this job with my friend. That was the problem. I eventually did. He's been working there helping me out. But man, did I feel that greed in my heart. And that greed made me sad. I had no control of it. God did something in my heart because I've been constantly praying and asking Him to change my heart. It just have happened and it shocked me. It shocked me. I was feeling sorrow for greed. Just the fact that it entered my heart. God can do miracles when we pray. Be persistent. Ask God to change those things in our heart. I can't muster that up. No way. Give Him glory. We give God glory by embracing the lifelong process of progressive sanctification. Notice I use the word progressive. Progressive sanctification is the process of battling internal temptations, a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. We become more like Him. As we experience progressive sanctification, God implants His grace in our soul, which creates hatred for sin and a deeper repentance over the sins of our heart. Without this converting grace and renewing power, we would continue to be captives of Satan. And you can read Great Controversy, page 506. As evidence that God is working in you, you will no longer take pleasure thinking about sin and doing things that we know are evil, wrong, and destructive. When something enticing comes your way, you know how the devil entices us? We can say, I'm not going to do those things. You know why? Because I love God. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm not going to do those things, but I really want to do those things. I know they're wrong, but I'm not going to do it because they're wrong, but oh, my heart wants it. It's not going to be like that at all. In your soul, you learn to hate that sin. You know, the Bible teaches that the hour of his judgment has come, that there is an investigative judgment taking place right now. Recognize that you will reap what you sow. We're living before the face of God, and he sees every aspect of our life. The Bible says in Revelation 22:12, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. Recognize the times that we are living in, and the door of mercy will not stay open forever. Jesus is still in the most holy place, interceding in our behalf. You and I can ask to be pardoned of sin today, right now, through faith in the blood shed by Jesus Christ. Look at the consequences of sin and idolatry. Keep in mind the destructiveness and lies of Satan. Sin is pleasurable, but it will result in enslavement and death. I smoked marijuana for 10 years straight. Smoking ruined my lungs many years ago, and I suffer respiratory problems, chronic bronchitis, wheezing, chest pain. Marijuana, it also cuts off the circulation to the oxygen to your brain, killing the brain cells, those cells that promote life in your brain. I faint easily. I get dizzy when I look up, and I my neck is pinched right there. I have trouble understanding what I read. I have poor comprehension skills. I have severe headaches. And worst of all, when I used to smoke marijuana, it enhanced other addictions. And I was on the path of death, far from the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. There's consequences for what we do. Only the love of God has the power to move and change our self-centered hearts. Meditating upon his love will awaken feelings of gratitude, of adoration, of love in response. And that will motivate us to obey and to live for his glory alone. The result will be worshiping our Creator instead of worshiping ourselves. This is what God desires. He desires your worship. He made you. You belong to him. You are his child. He is your father. And he loves you. And he wants to take the place of your addictions. In Psalm 63 and verse 1 to 3, it says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see the power of thy glory. Also I have seen in thee the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. My friends, we must have this experience with God. Our love for God must surpass the love of anything in this world has to offer in order for us to have lasting victory. When you have this experience, Satan will bring to you cheap, unsatisfying substitutes. And you can say, no, 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 my thirst is quenched. You saw Brother Thomas's shirt last night. Instead of Coca-Cola, it said Jesus Christ. And you can say, I got the real thing, baby. Jesus satisfies my thirst. My soul is filled by God. I love Him. What He has so much more to offer and better. And my friends, claim it. It is yours. My friends, in closing, we can admit that we are helpless, thirsty, addicted, in pain, and in desperate need of being filled with Him. Acknowledge that you cannot change yourself and that you need heart transformation, a transformation that transforms not only our behaviors, but our desires, our imaginations, our motives of the heart. Confess and surrender your addictions, your root sins, your sinful desires, not just your behaviors. Confess the sin of seeking to replace God with something else. Confess the sins of our sinful responses of dealing with the pain and sinful ways that we have wanted to get what we want. Confess specific sins. Ask God to turn your desires to Him and to fill you with His presence. And believe His promises. Isaiah 44, verse 3 says, I will pour water upon them that is thirsty. He extends this invitation to you and I. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. John 7, 37. As we find these promises, claim these promises as ours. I'm going to lead us into a prayer using the ABC format. And I'm going to say a closing prayer right now. And I'm going to pause so that you and I can make a confession to God right now of specific sins that God has been revealing to you on this Sabbath day. So shall we bow our heads for prayer? Our Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your goodness that leads us to repentance. Lord, I admit that I am thirsty, addicted, that I am in need of you. Here is my heart, bloodied, bruised, rebellious, stained, unbroken. I have no power to change my heart, but I know that you can. And I give you myself. Fill me with who you are. Turn my desires to you alone. Enable my true desires to be met by you instead of cheap substitutes. I confess my specific root sins and behaviors. And Father, I choose to stop right now. I choose to surrender this to you and to give up this behavior and allow you to satisfy my inner thirst. I thank you and I believe that you will fulfill what you have promised in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, that I will sprinkle clean water upon you. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, and I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away that stony heart of flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Thank you, Lord. Please help us. Please help us all. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you have been blessed by these messages, we would like to hear from you. Contact us at greencord.co@gmail.com.